Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, January the 31st, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on, Professor Joe, and Jeff, the financial expert. And with that said, we're going to have a roundtable discussion here. If you haven't listened to the past few shows that we've done, you should. Very vital, good information. With that said, welcome all three of you.
Thank you, Stu. We live in a world that is right full of deception. And we've got information, misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, social engineering, and in the midst of it all, we're debt slaves. And the people controlling the first springs, they have plans for us. And so I'm going to try and run a couple of disparate threads together, and hopefully by the end of the show we're going to connect some knots or dots or tie some ribbons and make a bow so people have at least a perspective or a mental model about all of these cross currents, all these riptides that are they're out there. And we're giving you information and we're giving you analysis, but it's really up to the listener, of course, to be discriminating, discerning, cautious, skeptical, because I am not moving from my PSYOP within a PSYOP within a PSYOP, or when I call the Great Terror and then the Overture. And so let's just pick up where we left off yesterday. And if the audience didn't hear, we had a great show with Dr. Fred Sergel and Stu, and I even did a reading of George Washington's vision, and you can read that, or you can listen to me handle difficult prose ineffectually. So let's start with Joel. Can you recap where we're at from yesterday and the information we had?
Okay, essentially what we were talking about is that we let Jim have his lead on this, and his point is that Trump is still a player. In other words, he's still in the game. Even though he alleged this fraud election, he is still in the game. And what Fetcher was presenting were certain events that happened recently that point in that direction. And so the discussion surrounded, is Trump a player or not? In other words, is he still in the game leading the cause of the conservative movement? Now, there are other things that surround this that people question, like Paul and I question. I don't know if I could, you know, get behind something like that by saying that somehow Trump is a third-dimensional chess player. Is this the real story? Well, here we have one of the things that I do is that I do a border watch because my hometown is El Paso. And I have a couple of friends down there that tell me the truth about what's happening in El Paso. And El Paso is the heart, believe it or not, is the heart of all of the cartels as regards to the trafficking that happens on the 2,500-mile border. All the plans are really made in El Paso itself. So these individuals would go down on the border. They didn't even take a gun. They went down on the border, and they had the big gun called a camera or a video. And they took videos of illegals crossing the border. Now, people think on the border that they're crawling through the desert, they're in rags, they haven't had any water, no food, and they're dying. No, it's not it at all. In one place under the Santa Fe Bridge, and this happened like about, I watched it about 6 months ago, an SUV drives up on the Juarez side. It stops. Six people jump out. The two coyote drivers jump out. They point the illegal who are very nicely dressed. They're not in rags. They're not hungry. They're wearing $250 tennis shoes, Nikes. And so they walk across the embankment and the Coyotes Point, way over there under the pillar, under the Santa Fe Bridge. And in that spot, the Border Patrol told them that they picked up in a 24-hour period in that one spot, 2,500 illegals. Just walk right across, nicely dressed, kids, old people, women, young guys. They even pointed out that these young guys that were 28 and 30 years of age looking had these kids in their hand. And these individuals pointed out that those are called rent kids. They rent these Mexican children, and when they are processed, they can't be deported because that kid is their kid and they can't be separated from the kid. Then they followed the illegals that were put aboard these Greyhound buses and took it to a dormitory of a girls' school where they spent the night, or they were going to be spending the night for however long, and were given money to do so. And this is what the real story of the border is. Why? Because under the George W. Bush administration, a policy was set by Bush of what is called arrest and release. In other words, detain them, put them through the computer, get all the facts you want, and then release them. Trump at any time could have said, no more arrest and release, arrest and return. In other words, they put him on the bus, drive him across the border, get off, and come across. He could have done that, but he didn't. He could have changed the policy. Same thing on the fence, 400 miles of fence after 4 years. And that 200 of that was replacement fence, and the other 200 was new. So really, no fence or wall was built. And make no mistake, a wall will not totally 100% stop the illegal crossing, but it does put a damper on it. So in some spots, you do have to have that wall. So those are the things that surround Trump that says that are conflicting, that he is some kind of player for the good guys. So I'll leave it off there, then get the other, you guys can comment on whatever.
Well, I just want to tie something together because you got this curious wall that is on the border, and then we left off yesterday's show with a wall being built around Washington, D.C. Can you give us a quick summary and make some analysis about the difference between the two walls, or what about these walls? We got walls in Washington, D.C. being built around Congress, and then a phony wall, or a, you know, the border wall reminds me of that, watch my right hand, and then the left hook is right, you know, it knocks you cold. Anyway, just a question there, if you can, Joel.
All right, okay. Let's take it place by, let's go back down to the border to a place called Annapurna. And Annapurna was a clapboard place that the maquiladoras built to house these young Mexican women and men that worked in the maquiladoras. Well, the maquiladoras
that make products that are part of NAFTA, just so people that know what you're talking about. These are the factory workers where they got rid of the American jobs and took them to Mexico.
Right. And to give you an example, the average work week for a maquiladora worker was 12 hours, 6 days a week. And they paid them nothing. In other words, it was a sweatshop. That's it. It was just a sweatshop. Well, it collapsed because the maquiladoras moved on to China.
Exactly.
So they use Annapurna as a place because all you've got to do is they put them in a bus and and my friends showed it on video that they had their night vision camera. Not only that, the cartels or the smugglers had drones flying overhead, and he showed the drones flying overhead. You could see the blinking lights. So you'd get about maybe about 25 people that would come up to a barrier, step across the barrier, go over and sit down. Border Patrol came up, made the arrest, and then carted them off to the processing center. And this goes on all night long. They bring them up in a bus. They get off, walk across on a Panora, step across the barrier, sit down on the ground, and it's men, women, children. So you have no fence, essentially, no fence. So the deal is, why are they building a fence around the Capitol? A fence. Never in the history of the United States have we have had a fence around the Capitol. You know, this is supposed to be a Republican form of government with access, where you go in and you get to talk to your congressman. Not anymore, because you're going to have to go through a gate. What's going on here? Two types of fences. Two types. One for them, one for us.
Stu, Joffrey, you guys want to make a comment, or should we go on to selected topics?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess if you want to keep moving on at this point, that's just a great review, and I did catch the show yesterday. It was a great show, by the way. You guys did really well on that. Really enjoyed it. Paul, whatever you want to carry forward or thoughts?
Yes, well, I want to move into money, banking, and how the world really works versus how some of us perceive it to work. And I would just like to start with three cities, Washington, D.C., which we're leaving briefly, and then the City of London, and then the Vatican. And all three of these are separate entities, but they're all connected. And what we have is the Federal Reserve Bank, and right now it's still King Dollar. And Joffrey and Stu and Joel, my feeling is the dollar is going to be the last currency around the drain. Although Joffrey has pointed out to me, hey, maybe keep your eye on Europe, because all of this stuff really starts and is going to end in Europe and Israel. And that just made me right. I would just like to point out that the Federal Reserve is a private bank. Now, I know that you're supposed to believe it's independent. It's private. And it belongs to about eight families, four in the USA. But, you know, I don't want to be accused of leaving Europe out, and specifically Rome and Bulgaria and the City of London, Bulgaria being a region of Germany. These eight families, you know the names, Goldman Sachs, Rockefeller, Lehman Loeb. But you also have Europeans, the Rothschilds. We have Warburgs, now that would be Hamburg, the Lazards, and the Israel Moses Seif family from Rome. So,
and you got Larry Mizell now of Denver, that Blackstone Group, that was a Silverado drug money from Mena, Arkansas. He's one of them. He's one of them, because when my ex-witch doctor's father, Leonard, died, he was in control of 7 of 10 of the banks. Now I hear Mizell, because of the fallen angel that jumped from Milman into Mizell. Mizell's, and he took over the 100 trillion Milman had. He's grown it up to where he's in control of about 9 out of every 10 banks in America now, is what I heard. And that's Daddy Bush and Neil Bush and the whole crowd. Okay, that are in control. Now, they created Blackstone, or BlackRock Group, and there's a story up there on my internet. You can punch in BlackRock, Blackstone, how they just took over the treasury here a while back. But that was drug money from Silverado, Neil Bush, Larry Mizell, Leonard Melman, Norman Brownstein, the two APEC directors who I've mentioned repeatedly. It was Daddy Bush's CIA counsel when he was CIA director, Brownstein. Now, they basically, they pumped up, I think it was Blackstone, with drug money through another front that's on the board of directors of the, the Council of Foreign Relations. I forgot his name. It's in the story. But they just recently absorbed into the Treasury. The story's up on my site, folks.
Anyway, go ahead, Joe.
All right. Well, I want to make a bigger point here that we like to think of the people we see as being in charge. And Stu, you know very well about the people behind the curtain, as do you, Joel. And, you know, Joffrey and I, our exposure is through you guys and through our own research. But I just want to point out that the Fed is where the dollar gets created. And the dollar is created when debt is created. In other words, you can't put money in circulation without creating debt. And, of course, the interest on the debt is where all of these families make their money. And, by the way, I would guess there are probably at least 10, maybe 20. You could maybe even argue that there are 40 or 50 families that have multiple trillions. Yep, trillionaires. But the Fed is connected with what's called the BIS, which is the Bank of International Settlements, which is located in Basel, Switzerland. And what we've got going on here is the Bank of International Settlements is really the one that controls the other banks. And that takes you to the International Monetary Fund. And the real players are the Bank of International Settlements and the International Monetary Fund, because all central banks have to make the numbers add up, although it's curious how they make 2 and 2 equal 4, because now I don't know what 2 and 2 equals. But what we got going on is this great reset. And we probably haven't talked enough about the Trojan horse, which is the great reset. You see, we're supposed to be under the impression that they're looking out for us, they got everything under control, all you got to do is get vaccinated, take your universal basic income, but really what the Great Reset is, well, you know it, it's a Trojan horse. And essentially, what they're doing with COVID is not only depopulation, but they're also shutting down the economy, and they want worldwide slavery. They want not only us dead, but whoever gets to remain, they're going to be locked down and slaves. And so you got a bunch of themes going here, and I am still of the opinion that what may be going on here is you got two factions in America fighting for power, but the real power is European. And it goes back to Joel's central thesis that the Rockefeller family, along with their branch, the Jesuits, who control all of the military industrial intelligence complexes in every government, military, the intelligence, the industrial, you've just got this web, and it's a web of deception, and they have a lot of power. And maybe, Joffrey, you can weigh in here on some of what I said, because I know that we talk finance and economics a lot. What do you say to what I'm talking about?
I think I'm going to stay along with that deception comment, because part of why we have to believe in the system that we're in, it's got to take place, it's got to stay in place till they say it doesn't. So while it's in place, the Treasury basically has kind of a permission slip to tap assets. They can go in and tap pensions, they can borrow money. What do they do with it? You know, a lot of that's used for dark operations, maybe secret wars, secret money. So a lot of money is taken from public money or private money used for public usage. Some of that filters back to the folks at the Fed. They have access to this pipeline of money. And if you remember when we had the last collapse, there was talk about putting gates into money market funds, where if you took more than $5,000 out, the gates shut, couldn't get any more money out. The system is being closed down systematically, so there's no exits. But while it's pinned in, those at the top have access to the money. So they're going to pull money from one place and shuffle it around. If you had unlimited money supply, what could you do? I mean, if you're a corporation and you want to research and development, says, hey, we got to try this. Well, where's the funding has come from? Let's just tap it. Let's just tap assets that are out there. So there's gates. people can only take so much money out at one time anyway. Let's borrow their money, use it. If we create something useful, we'll just replace the money after the experiment or after a certain amount of time. And now we've got a project we've started. So it's enterprise, free people, money. It's other people, OTM, other people's money, OPM, other people's money. So they can do the shuffle. They can keep it secret. They can even hire mercenaries. I've heard Catherine Austin Fitzsimmons will talk about hiring mercenaries with this capital to ensure projects get taken care of. And if you want to influence a certain corporation's profitability, you hire these guys and they go ruffle some feathers. So you can do a lot of things with other people's money. It's very nefarious and kind of under the covers, but it can be done. But we have to believe in the system that we're in. And I think where I see this going and what's happening is with all that's going on in the markets right now too, you're starting to see some strange things pop up on the terrestrial. You know, you're seeing comic books go for a couple $1 million. Now, do you really want to read the first issue of Batman and Robin for $2 million or $20 million? You know, no, but you do want that as a collector's item. But is it really worth $2 million or $200 million or whatever some of these things are going for? And some of these Pokemon cards. You know, some of these Pokemon cards, $500,000. They're a little card. These are unheard of. But money is moving. Money is not staying. It's trying to escape a decaying system. And it's trying to get out through the cracks. And people know they're sitting on a lot of old maids. They're sitting on old maids and they're saying, I got to peddle these things. I take my chances in that Pokemon card. I'll take my chances in that cryptocurrency, that stock in a tech company. So, again, you can hold that card or that comic book and you can make a claim to it by saying, I got it in my hand, it's mine. I can point at a stock in the S&P and say, I own that stock. No, you really don't. You own a title that says you have ownership of that stock, but technically you're once or twice removed from it because we're selling the same assets to the same people over and over and over again. So we have a lot of misdirection in the financial system, and I think that bleeds into everything because it's the foundation of what we operate on. So when you have to move away from it, into the cloud, into the internet, the connectivity of things, how do you transition an old system that we're dependent upon, that we structure within? How do you transfer that into a person, technically? We'll throw that back to you guys. How do we get from where we're at? What's the catalyst or what's the breaking point of the dam that says, okay, we've achieved it. Now how do we instill enough confidence that people are going to move to the system? Will they do it because they want to, or will they do it because they have to?
Whole lot going on there. I'd just like to point out 1929, right before the crash, you had, I'm going to call it speculation. Anybody that invests in equities or invests in about anything, there's always a line between investment and speculation. One could argue sometimes the terms mean the same thing. But what I know about the stock market collapse in 1929 and what I read about this weekend on the shorting of GameStop and the populist movement, I think people are being played. I think people are absolutely being played. And behind the scenes, you've got a plan, and it's just more distraction because I'm thinking we are looking at probably several cities at least, false flags, and I think we're going to be really tested in the months ahead. I know we keep being promised that Trump's not done, he'll be back, and all this other stuff, but I have to live in the real world, and there's always going to be lock her up, or lock him up, or drain the swamp, or stuff's going to be revealed, there's all of these sealed indictments, and so on. And I'm not saying there's not real things happening, but even when you get into a military tribunal, it's a little bit like the banking system. There's the official banking system, and then there's the shadow banking system. And I'm thoroughly convinced that military tribunals have likely been infiltrated. Now, can I prove that? No. But I just know how the world really works, and I just know how compartmentalized the silos, and that go back to the Romans, and Joel mentioned either on the air or on the air that, hey, you look at what Rome's been doing and Roman law, and they really know how to work a system on you and me. And so we just got to figure out the system they're in. But more than that, I believe it all comes down to faith in Jesus. And Joel may have mentioned this on an earlier program, but the real question is not do you know Jesus, but does Jesus know you, and are you written in the book of life? Because I think the next 90 days are going to provide us with an opportunity to show who we are. Anyway, I'm now going on rants. I better stop myself. Stu, Joel, you guys got comments?
Go ahead, Joel.
All right, I think maybe what we better do for Jeff and Paul, you and I know about this because we were dealing with this back in the 90s. First of all, I'm going to start with the Constitution. This is a basic thing that you have to understand about the Federal Reserve. Yes, Paul, you have it partially correct on the Federal Reserve, but there's more to the Federal Reserve system. The Federal Reserve web. It's worldwide. It's a system. And the system is based upon what we find in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, the fourth full paragraph, of where it says, and I'm going to only paraphrase it because I don't have the Constitution before me, you shall not have proportional taxes. In other words, you can't have income taxes. Now I'm going to let that sink in for a moment or two. You, according to the Constitution, cannot have income tax. Your income cannot be taxed.
That's true.
How is that? And here we pay every April income tax. How is that?
Well, 1913.
Way back after the Civil War, because there was a debt, Abraham Lincoln went and met with the Rothschilds to get forgiveness of debt. Okay, forgiveness of debt. They formed what is called, and I'm only paraphrasing, the Washington, D.C. Corporation. The Washington, D.C. Corporation. In other words, the United States Corporation. If you take the word, the United States, capitalize the T, capitalize the U, and make the S small. In other words, the states no longer have control. How? Well, through this corporation that was formed. And you and I and everybody, because we pay pay an income tax through a W-2 form. We have made a contract with that corporation, and you, by doing that, have now become a citizen of that corporation and no longer a citizen of the United with a small U and then a large S for states. You are no longer under the Constitution. And that is why they can do what they can do. And what they do is, they don't put something in law, they say it's a resolution. Not law, it's a resolution when Congress passes it. Resolution 202, Resolution 303, it's a resolution. They can't do it because it's not law. Because you are part of what is called, you are a citizen called the United States Washington, D.C. Corporation. And it's centered in the mall. Okay? Now taking that, and then you become a citizen when you sign that W-2 form. Because before World War II, the income tax was voluntary.
Yep.
It was not required. And it still isn't to this day. But you can't make a corporation say, hey, I don't want to have the tax taken out of my income. They won't do it on the W-2 form. Some will. So there's the beginning of how they operate in the way that they do.
And then you have the Paul, and then you have and then you have
myself,
19. Go ahead, Joe.
Are citizens of the United States Corporation, Washington, D.C.
You know, to give some validity to what Joel just said, let's say you want to go purchase a shotgun for pheasant hunting, which is pretty popular around here. It used to be. Still enjoy pheasant hunting on occasion, but you fill out the form, and one of the questions on the form when you're filling out your, it's not really a permit, but it's just a background check. But one of the questions is, have you ever denounced your U.S. citizenship? It's on the form. And I find that curious listening to Joel talk what he's talking about, because there's a form with a question. It's not necessarily out in the open, but subtly that's on that permit. I find that curious, but that is there.
No. Well, I'll explain that to you. During the 90s, and Stu was right in the middle of it with Brian Quigg and Rodmacher and some of these other guys that were part of the Patriot Movement. And part of that Patriot Movement was called the Sovereign Citizen.
Let's see. Now, Brian's dead, and Paul got shot behind here by a bunch of Israelis because he used to work for the Republic, the Arizona Republic, and they decided to put him out of business. He lived through it. Go ahead.
There were people that would go to an embassy and renounce their citizenship. But what they were renouncing their citizenship of is Washington, D.C. Incorporated. But because everything is a web, the statement that every Rodmacher, all of them, Brian Quinn, all of them said, and Stu will verify this, if you become that sovereign citizen, you better be ready to live in poverty.
Let me add to that, if I may. During that period of time in the 90s, I was in Texas, and an attorney paid for the car rental for 3 weeks. He offered to pay for it for 3 days. Then I said, well, I'll extend it. I'll pay the difference. Oh, no. As long as you got the car you need, I'll pay for up to 3 weeks. I ended up going all over Texas. Well, there was a couple of people went there. One was an attorney in Austin, and they were into the sovereign movement. And another was Gary Graham, his name was. He's now dead again. Too many people I know have died mysteriously, suicided or car crashed, whatever. Probably 100 of them, but 50 of them were whistleblowers. But they had a movement going, Sovereign Citizen. And it was very popular back in the mid-90s. And I was doing speeches all around the country, probably 150 in 6 months, 42 states. Gary had this attorney lined up. He had a judge lined up. There were five of us going to get, he said, you want in? I said, sure. So, because I was a legitimate resident of the state of Texas at that time, driver's license, whole bit, they gave me a sovereign citizens. Now, you can punch it in. It's up on my internet site someplace. Punch in the search box on my site, sovereign citizen, or punch in Stu Webb, it'll show up. But I got that order signed. It means, and there's no income tax in the state of Texas, but it made me a sovereign citizen where I don't pay U.S. income tax. I can carry a weapon without a permit. I can have a car without tags. I'm a sovereign citizen. And a judge, his wife baked his cookies while he signed the order down in San Antonio. It took him 6 months. The attorney general found out about it. He decided to go and impeach the judge over signing this order after hearing our cases of being a sovereign citizen. And he signed it, and they impeached him 6 months later, the attorney general did. Now, they wrote us up in a law review. Someone called me, and about 2 years later, in 97, in the law, it's a law review that the Senate, all the judges and attorneys can get it and all this, and it's postings, warnings. Beware of these people who claim sovereign citizenship. Rule against them. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Now, what Stu is trying to tell you and the audience is a sovereign citizen was not this kind of crazy stuff that was going on. It was based upon some real correct interpretation of the Constitution. And that was, we are citizens of that corporation, and therefore Congress can do what it wants to do. In other words, let's use the border as an example. When you became a citizen of the United States with a capital S and a little U, you became really a citizen of the state that you resided in. They were the ones that approved you. So how do all these illegals get in? They get in because they become a member of the corporation called Washington, D.C. Incorporated.
Bingo. Bingo.
And that's how they get away with what they do. Well, Stu will tell you, you get into this, you will be guaranteed impoverishment immediately.
No, yeah. You don't want to get into it, number one.
There's no way you can earn an income. And so there was a guy named that wrote a thing called Sui Juris. Do you remember him, Stu?
No, I don't. What was his name? I don't remember.
I can't remember his name, but he is the one that really broke this open because he went in and had a friend in the income tax bureau, and he read the bylaws, and this person pointed out all administrators of the income tax process know about this. They know it, but they are working for a private corporation.
Now, there was an attorney, I forgot his name, he was into it, and he turned out to be, you know, someone I wouldn't want to deal with, but he got into it. He actually got cases down there in Tennessee or someplace before a court and federal court ruling that people don't have to pay income tax. Now, a friend of mine, we call him Rocky, his first name was Michael in Vegas, him and three other people working the casinos went and challenged them, and they don't take federal income tax out of their paycheck. They take state income tax, but no federal. Just thought I'd say.
Okay. Now remember, you cannot tax an income according to the Constitution. You can't do it. All right, because that immediately brings about slavery. All right, so now you've got a little bit of a program. By the way, I have four friends that spent 5 years for income tax evasion. 5 years. And so they fought it, but they lost.
That's right. There was a whole movement of this, the sovereign citizenship, no income tax, the whole bit, all during the 90s. And what did they do? That was part of, also during that period of time, was the Ross Perot movement, third independent party being created. So what did they do? They had to have a false flag. They blew up Oklahoma City building.
Yeah. Now, they take that a little step further, and you can attach the same concept to the ownership of a house. You cannot own your house today because you did not come under a loyal property laws. You came under what we call admiralty laws. Those are called mortgages. And many of the people found out they didn't own their house. And Stu used to help. What was that lady's name that you helped work your way through the stealing of the mortgages by Larry Mizell?
Yeah.
What was that, Stu?
I forgot her name, but Michelle something. But here was the deal. Her husband died, and they had mortgage insurance on the house to pay off the house in the event of his death. They had to have that when they signed the papers to get the mortgage. Now, he dies a few years later. The house is paid for, and now it's Jones Stooge attorney, representative, because they were saying she'd contact the mortgage company and the insurance company and all that, and yeah, it's paid for. 2 years later, they're coming back saying they're going to repo her house. Hadn't paid her payments. All this bullshit. They didn't pay it off. And so she hires his attorney. And now it's Jones Stooge. Used to go on a show. She gets screwed. And she loses her house. Now, I dug into this. Since mortgage crisis, which mortgage crisis, a lot of people don't understand what it's about. Because I was one of the ones that blew the whole thing apart. Like I did Silverado, the Denver Airport, the Keating 5, and HUD. Back in 89 to 91. Now, that caused me to become a political prisoner, by the way. The mortgage deal
What they were doing is it started off when Daddy Bush was CIA director, and Norman Brownstein and Larry Mizell had graduated from law school in Boulder, Colorado together. And one became an attorney, they both became attorneys, but one practiced law for Milman. That's Norman Brownstein. He's one of, these two are the APEC directors now, the American-Israeli PAC. They tell Congress what to do, and they're funding them just like they did the Keating Five illegal political money laundering by getting APEC approved to give them anything they want. As Cynthia McKinney, former congresswoman, said in an interview that's on my site, if you don't sign the APEC agreement, you don't become a congressman or senator any longer. The APEC agreement says Israel first over America, and that's what's happened. Now, the mortgage crisis in 2008 led from Daddy Bush and his CIA counsel, Norman Brownstein, Natale, and the other six CIA counsel. Then underneath them, they had about 200 aides, which one of them was assistant attorney, Mr. Bill Barr, former attorney general, just recently gotten rid of by Trump. Bill Barr was an assistant in there. Now, what they did is they tested the mortgages. They own most of the banks and mortgage companies, so we're going to go in here on mortgages that we are have loans out on. So here's Mizell and Milman and all of them saying, okay, we got this house over here in Cherry Creek. Cherry Creek, expensive area. They got this mortgage on this house. So what they do is they write an additional mortgage on the house saying, well, the mortgage was sold over here and the mortgage sold over here and we now own your mortgage. And so they come in with attorneys with a front mortgage company claiming that they bought your mortgage 2 years previously. But they're calling their mortgage company, the owner, and saying, hey, wait a minute. No, we own your mortgage. Well, you got to represent us. No, we can't represent you. So they go and hire their own attorney, and they're fighting attorneys that said that they had bought the mortgage. So this is what is going on now. And they've stolen over 12,000 houses from people since 2008 bank bailout. They were doing this fraud way back, testing it in Arapahoe County, Colorado, with Daddy Bush, the CIA director, and Milman and Neil Bush and all of them to see if they could get away with it. And they did. So Larry Mizell ramps it up around 2000 and through a subsidiary of MDC Holdings of Denver, the parent company of Silverado Savings Loan, now collapsed, Neil Bush director, laundered $9 trillion of Iran-Contra, MENA, Arkansas, the Clintons' drug money and Daddy Bush's drug money through there. Long story. They started creating these mortgages. Here, I'm almost done. They started creating these mortgages and doing the same thing and going in. And what they were doing is they were creating mortgages out of asset investors. Now, if you go up on the front of my website, punch in the, look for the SEC, where I filed complaints that led to, really, the J.P. Morgan settlement of $16 billion, and Mizell's MDC asset investors paid $2.5 billion in fine over the bank bailout. That's what ended up happening. But Mizell created $100 trillion worth of artificial mortgages through asset investors and asset this and asset that, and he peddled them to places like J.P. Morgan, the big brokers that the current Treasury of Secretary of Treasury is, Mnuchin, Goldman Sachs. I mean, they were passing them everywhere. And all they were doing is passing artificial paper. They created $100 trillion. I mean, they couldn't support it, and that's what bank bailout was about. And it bailed them out with a big chunk of cash, but they turned them into derivatives. These derivatives are sitting in all the banks worldwide. They're worthless friggin' paper. That was my point. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. Now, here's what Stu can't get over to you. The reason that Larry Mizell, Leonard Melman, did not go to jail is because we are a citizen of the corporation, and they are the officers. They are the ones that bring about resolution called policy, and they can go out and do what they want to do. Even when you go to court, if you go to the court, you'll see a fringed flag. That means that you are under admiralty law, not common law. And so when you approach the bench or approach the bar, you are actually approaching the bar that is in England. It's called the Templar Bar, and that's where all of the real policies, Paul, are really made for the future. And what they do is you go and you say to them, I am so-and-so, and you give your name to it. Your name is what they call a straw man name. It is not your real name. It's a straw man. And on your birth certificate was put a number. And a straw man was made. In other words, they borrow money off of you. They create it out of thin air.
Why is it that, as an example, if you're charged with something, on the documents, you're all in capitals? That's another thing. Your name's all in caps. That's the artificial. Joe's trying to explain that we're all living under this big illusion shit. Go ahead, Joe.
That's why they can do what they do and they don't go to jail, because we are a member of Washington, D.C. Court. All right, now here's that'll give you just a little bit of a background, but there's more to it than that. Guess what? Jim Fetzer verified by his statement that Trump signed a document that made a dissolution of the Corporation Act that was passed in 1875. It ended it. How do you figure that one?
Well, it's massive. Where now,
if he ended this, here's the point behind all this stuff. Okay, they put this into law at the period that Joel just said, in the 18 or 17, whatever it was. And it's been that since that time. And Trump, a couple minutes before midnight, before the next day of inauguration, he signs it out. Executive ordered it out that they put in. What does that do if it's true that that happened? Think about it.
Yeah, and this is why this is a crazy game. And to further complement it, the 13th Amendment is really about what we call titles of nobility. And that influences about half of these lawyers and politicians.
And about 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 of them.
Title of nobility.
8 out of 10 of them, or 9 out of 10 of them in Washington, D.C., and the Congress and Senate are all attorneys, folks. They're all attorneys. They're all corrupt as fuck.
So now you see, but according to them, they are not crooks, because we are members of the corporation. And the corporation doesn't make law. It makes policy and resolution.
Now, if he signed that out of law, we're no longer underneath that. And if they got, if they got a military tribunal going on, which there's something going on inside there, because we are underneath martial law. I know that, because Fetzer hit it right. Because I got a call from a spook, said, hey, we're under red alert. That means we're under martial law. At that time that Fetzer said yesterday in the show that supposedly was signed into effect in January. So something happened. And then this thing that he signed, it seems there could be verification out here of it. Now, if he did this, he just changed the whole country for the betterment.
Yeah, he did. That's where it gets very mysterious. Very, very mysterious.
Now, they can run around claiming all the things they want to do. Everybody. It's going to happen to me. It's just like, hey, you know, I'm seeing the ATM. I want to move on this. I'm seeing the ATM machines around Kansas City all closed down. I even went to the friggin' bank. Drove up to its ATM machine. Didn't work. I turned around, drive up window, and got cash out. No problem. Other people doing the same thing all over town. Man, the ATMs aren't working. Even at the banks, they're not working here in Kansas City. Now, it's been all week long. I'm asking myself, are they going to say all, or is it that maybe we're getting ready for a changeover? Or are they going to pull the money supply and blame it on the COVID virus? Then you got your credit debit card. You got your card. Then they convert over to your chip. You can't use the card, like Joe said. One day you go to put it in the, oh, sir, we don't use cards anymore. Did you get your vaccination? Well, yeah. Well, here, put your arm up here. Give me your birth date and social security number and your first name. and last name. He does it, and boom, punches in. All of a sudden, ah, yeah, all your history, your medical history, your financial history, your bank accounts, everything about you, military history, criminal history, your way you vote. Did you receive any other shots? All that's kept right there. If you didn't get your vaccination, sir, you need to go get your vaccination so you can buy your groceries. What do you say about that, Joe or Paul?
Well, again, it comes down to that little simple statement, that little understanding. We are not a citizen of the United States in America, not of America, in America, where the S is capitalized, the U is capitalized, and your name, your birth name, is not in caps except for the first letter.
That means right now, if he signed, if President Trump signed that before he went down to Mar-a-Lago to hang out for a while until he comes back and is sworn in, if he really signed that, that means I'm a sovereign citizen. And judges don't get impeached.
Does anyone think that that seems like the perfect match for Civil War to go hotter than it already is?
Okay, there's where we come in, Paul, with the thought, because these guys don't give up, because we are still citizens of the United States court, unless Trump didn't sign that. And it's something else. I don't know. And this is where Eli James came on and said, the red coats are coming, the red coats are coming. He was referring to that George Washington vision of where this red light in a cloud came to the United States, the angels stepped in, and then it is, the white coats are coming, the white coats are coming, the men in the schmucks with their needles. And we now know for sure what it does. Once you take that, the proteins are put out into your body, the immune system attacks it, and then ravages your internal organs, and you die.
Wow. At what minute are we at? Because I want to keep this at 50 minutes. Where are we at, Stu?
I want to add to that, because I got a call on it this morning, pretty accurate. She normally is, one of our listeners. They were saying, what was the numbers? Like 4,000 people, something like that, who have taken the shot are now dead within 2 weeks. That quick. 4,000 people around the country taking this virus shot, COVID virus shot, are dead. Thought I'd throw that out there. We need to do some research on the numbers of the dead ones. But go ahead.
Do not get the shot. Do not get the Cerveza jab. Do not. And don't get tested. Don't even get in the system. I know that some of us have health issues, financial issues, and we're going to have to network better and rely on each other here as the days go on, I think.
I would like to add to that, though, Paul. For all you politicians out there, you New World Order shadow government boys, all you in the mainstream press, all you Satanists out there, please go get the shot. Please. I'm tired of hearing your propaganda on TV. I'm tired of you serving Satan instead of the people. And you Satanists already serving. But all you fools out there don't know any better than a dumb fox. Go ahead, get the shot. I want all you off of my planet. Please. Go ahead.
Wow. Joffrey, you want to try and tie a ribbon onto this? I think we have really gone deep. And I just, personally, I'm a guy that's dealt with all this stuff before. And I just think it's enormous. And maybe it's just my state of mind today. What can you say to help the listener tie some of this together?
A couple of things real quick. One, Harry Reid was asked, I'm going back to Joel's comment. Is this tax mandatory? He says, no, it's voluntary. But basically, like you say, just try to challenge it. You'll end up in court and you'll end up losing. So that's true. A gentleman in Kansas, verify again, Stu and Joel's comments about property ownership. A gentleman in Kansas, I was once removed from, because the story came through a relative. The gentleman had his house paid for, went to get the deed to the house, couldn't get it. The judge basically threw him and his mom out of the house, couldn't get the deed. So again, that's confirmation exactly what Sue and Joel were talking about. You guys have thrown a lot of very, very, very useful information out there. That's what I would say. There is hope also on the back front, in the sense that there was a book that this lady's written. She's written two of them. Why Masks Don't Work, and the other one was how to basically deal with getting a shot. You've gotten it, but what's in it? And it's gene therapy, and there are some things that you can do if you have gotten the shot. All hope is not lost, but again, it's a, as Joel said, it excites the immune system to attack itself and render your body or your organs useless. As a matter of fact, it just over-amplifies everything. It's on steroids, in a sense. So the book that was going to be published was bought out by Amazon, and they left all of it in the warehouse, so you can't get to it. But there are some articles that this lady's written that are on the net that you can find. She talks about pH balancing your body, getting your nutrition properly. Do not take in any processed foods, which would aggravate it. But anybody with Parkinson's, anybody with certain, and I'm no doctor by any means, I'm just saying, repeating what she mentioned, certain things that she said, that if you have these symptoms, you should not get the shot. So, and again, guys, I have not much more to say. I was a listener today to some very important information, and I think what you guys are talking about, there could be a whole show done on where are we, who are we within the system with which we reside, and are we citizens or are we a number? Well, we know the answer to that. You guys gave concrete information to really who we are, and just try to challenge the system is very difficult to do, but it's not hopeless. But we need to know our rights and privileges if they exist. We need to know what those are. And I'm afraid a lot of them don't. So thanks for the history lesson. And all of you guys, Paul goes back to ancient history, but I would love to hear you guys just elaborate on history at some point in time or future show. So that's my contribution on that.
Excellent. Excellent. Guys, thank you. Joel, Stu, last comments?
Go ahead, Joel.
Okay. Just remember, if Trump signed the document that did away with the Corporation Act, 1875, hey, you are now a sovereign citizen.
I want to push something real quick because of my health. I have been really nose running, no appetite, nothing for a month and a half. It's been crazy. Plus, I'm banging out a couple of teeth with a laser. Here's the point. A friend was down here. He bought a bottle of Tangy Tangerine 2.0. You can buy it. It's got stuff in it. Unbelievable. 7 days now I've been drinking it, or 8 days. I'm eating three meals a day again, as of yesterday and the day before and the day before. Now, I find out from a friend, listener, a Dr. Joel Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, made it. And Joel, now you know him. You've heard of him.
Yeah. He
wrote some books or something and was very popular.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he was very, very popular during the 90s.
Now this stuff is
essentially a veterinarian, but what he found was some of the natural cures that they were feeding the animals, he gave them to the human beings and they got well.
Especially with Lyme disease. If not for the veterinarians, I don't think the CDC would have ever let us have any cure for Lyme disease. That's yeah.
I know a girl that had Lyme disease here, very patriotic, and they were spraying the shit in southeast Missouri down near Rolla, where she got it and her mother both got it, where they were spraying ticks out that were contaminated with Lyme's disease that they made on Long Island, off of Long Island, at that lab, U.S. lab. And they contaminated the ticks and they dumped them as an experiment over Missouri. And she filed a suit and proved the case. Now, I just want to bring that up. Now, this back to this Dr. Joel Wallach. This is the correct address, according to the source today, that said he's the one that developed this. It's called youngevity.com. Young
VITY.com. Folks, this stuff has changed my body. And I mean, there's enough for 6 months here for $50 or whatever they charge. Anyway, I'm just suggesting because I've been on oregano, I've been on vitamin D, I've been on everything. Because the people that are dying of this virus lack vitamin D, zinc, D, zinc, oh God, hang on, magnesium, potassium, and vitamin D. Those are the things they're lacking in their body that are dying in hospitals, nutrients. This thing here is so powerful, I'm not even taking anything else. And I got my energy back, and I got my appetite back. And I'm not running at the nose 24/7. Just thought I'd suggest it for everybody. With that said, Paul, you have any last words?
So much information today, and pass it along, please. I hope we get to stay up for many months to come, but I think everyone ought to be aware that we may not be up for all that long, and pass along the information that we provide. We're not giving medical advice here. We're Stu's personal testimony is his own, and yet there's something going on there. He's certainly feeling much better, and anything that deals with autoimmune conditions, those are really thorny issues. So, but we do know that any vaccination is bound to aggravate or totally end, as in dead, if you take that vaccine. All right, that's my final. Catch you guys on the flip side.
All right, real quick, Jeff, you want to lead some prayer on this?
Sure will. We come before you, Lord, and we are your people, and you are our God. We want to know their way. Give us strength to fight the enemy. You know, that battle goes way back to heaven. And Satan's rebellion against you, and he is the prince of the power of this air at this time. But he can be, and he does have weaknesses, and we pray for your precious protection and blood to allow us the opportunity to defend ourselves and defend those we love with what the Word of God, wisdom of the Lord. So we'd ask that you would protect us. We'd ask that you protect the listeners. Give insight and wisdom, as we always ask for. That's the most valuable thing we can ask for, is your wisdom, for man dies for lack of knowledge. To protect us, protect Stu again from all the frontline activity that he takes, just because he makes a bold stand. And Lord, we praise you for that boldness, because we need it. And a lot of the things that we see are false. We know they're false because we live in a world of great deception at this time. But we need discernment for the truth and the power of the Word of God to penetrate the minds and the hearts of everyone listening. May you take a humble stance, bend your knee or your heart or wherever you're at, just say, hey, God, you're in control. You know what? It's not about me. It's about you. What can I do to glorify you? And what do I have in this life to offer? It's yours. Take it. Use it as you wish you would, Lord. Thank you for the end of the day. Thank you for these people. Thank you for these men of God. Thank you for the wisdom that they've been imparted with to share and transmit and be warriors and to be trumpets of the truth. And on the wall of justice, they're spreading this good news, Father. So we ask that you would bless this information, bless the knowledge that you give us, and protect us all. And we ask this through the blood of Christ and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And I ask, Father, what Joe would ask, for the planet to be covered with your blood, Father, and to let your spirit go out in your holy name, Father. Let this planet wake up to your will. I ask in Jesus' holy name, by your blood, by your stripes. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Take care.
Good.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Jeff.
Good, guys.
Have a good one.